But yeah, it's Thanksgiving weekend. Time to celebrate, right? And do we got that little cartoon up there that I started with there? There it is. A friend of mine sent me this one this morning. So we have so much to be thankful for. We have so much to be thankful for. One day a year hardly seems adequate. And it kind of, and then the scriptures that were read this morning all had thankfulness in it. And so that's what I want to look at this morning is basically the duty of thankfulness in our lives. What does that mean to us, right? And of course, as I look around, I can see that there's very few. There's lots of us here, but there's a few of us that are missing. And no doubt that there are visiting friends and family and traveling and gathering and having a great time, right? But for some of us, I'll guarantee you, it's just probably an ordinary weekend, right? Correct? And then for some of us, we're really excited because we get a three-day weekend, right? Right? We get some time off. It's like, woohoo, we got some time to down, right? To spend around the house, maybe do some yard work before it actually does snow. I heard somebody talking about that this morning already, right? Maybe just to watch some sporting events. How about hunting? How many of you are going to go hunting this weekend? Nobody? Nobody does hunting around here? How about fishing? Yeah, probably are. That's probably why they're not here, right? I'll guarantee you that. You know, my son-in-law is coming tomorrow, so I'm gonna hit him up, maybe go out after he fixes the vehicles a little bit and go out and see if we can get something for sure. And of course, this is the weekend where we have the typical Thanksgiving dinner, right? Turkey. It's kind of terrible to talk about. They're so close to lunch, right? Turkey, you know, mashed potatoes, yams, you know, gravy, stuffed potato, you know, stuffing, the whole works. All right. When I was growing up, and then as we as a family used to always gather too. When we were Kathy and I were married, and my brothers got married, and sisters, and we all gathered at mom and dad's house for Thanksgiving dinner. There was usually like, you know, 30 of us there because mom and dad have 8 children, and then all their wives and all their kids. So it was quite a weekend. And one of the things that always is remembers of that days is those times that we gathered was that her boys and her son-in-laws, after a great big turkey dinner, we all retired to the living room on the couches and floor and fell asleep for the afternoon. That's what we did, all right? But it was a great time just to be with family at that time. But in the midst of all of this time and this busyness, how many of us just stop for a moment and actually gave thanks and expressed in our hearts our appreciation for the big things in life? How about the little things? How about the good things and the bad things? Do you still be thankful for all of that? Right? It's an underlying sense that just being alive is an awesome thing, not to be taken lightly or for granted, whether it's bad or whether it's good, you know. I think that to be thankful, it's absolutely essential to our spiritual lives. It's absolutely essential for our health as well. And it's essential for our relationships, especially with our families and friends, especially with God. We need to express this whole area of being thankful for what we have. And of course, I'm going to look at Psalms 92, 1 through 5. It's a prime example. It is a hymn of thanksgiving, and the author, we don't really know who that author is, just goes beyond their regular teaching to express their profound thankfulness to God for all that He has done for them. All right? So let's just read that passage, and of course, I'm going to have it up on the screen as well, and I'm just going to read it. The New Living Translation this morning. It says, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to the Most High. It is good to proclaim your unfailing love in the morning, your faithfulness in the evening, accompanied by the harp and lute and the harmony of the lyre. You thrill me, Lord, with all you have done for me. I sing for joy because of what you have done. O Lord, what great miracles you do, and how deep are your thoughts." And may God bless the reading of His word. So as we examine these five verses, we learn that for a child of God, the duty of thankfulness is a moral necessity. Verse 1 says, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord." Just stop and think about that. These words carry a serious implication with it. If it's a good thing to give thanks to God, quite obviously, it is what? A bad thing to withhold thankfulness. Right? And this is hard and sad to say, but I think this is one of the sins of our day today. When the Apostle Paul listed the steps in humanity's descent from true knowledge of God to vile wickedness in Romans 1, he named thanklessness as the source of all other sins. Look in verse 21 of that chapter. It says, because although they knew God, they know who God is, they did not glorify him, nor were they thankful. And then, of course, what follows is one of the darkest descriptions of a corrupt nature and the wicked practices of humanity. People do not want to know God or honor him. Instead of being thankful for what God has given to them, they just refuse or give him glory. People are willing to use God's gifts, but not willing to be thankful for them or praise them for them as well. So the duty of thankfulness is a moral necessity because it is a good thing. And the psalmist leaves us little doubt as to why we must give thanks to God. So, you and I must gratefully appreciate God's blessings which are behind us. You thrill me, Lord, with all you've done for me. You notice that little word, done for me? He's looking back, right? Looking back. And probably recounting how God had filled their heart with past blessings. And who of us can disagree with the psalmist in this respect? Just think for a moment of past spiritual blessings. Who among us can withhold praise to God? Think about his mighty works in your life. Think about that. What has God done in the past for you? You remember a time when God became your father? Do you remember that time? Who was gracious, merciful, and loving? Remember a time when Christ became your Savior? Do you remember that time? How about the Holy Spirit, who became your comforter and your counselor, who guides you throughout all of life? How about God's Word, which became your guide, your light, a light for your path, for the journey that you're going through? And just think about the body of Christ, who became your family, and heaven became your home. Just think about all that took place at the time that you took the time to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Right? Wonderful blessings. Something to be thankful for. In fact, I'm going to read Ephesians 1:3, where it reveals the blessings that come to us. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. The spiritual blessings of heaven do not belong to us naturally, right? We're not born with them. We can't earn them. And they're not given to us by somebody else. They're given to us by God the moment we accept him as our Savior. And all of us probably can remember there was a time when we did not have them because Christ was not in our life. But the moment you accepted him, you possessed all those blessings in heaven. And what is interesting, this verse tells us something too, is that even though we live in this world today, physically, right, in this body, did you know that spiritually we are in heaven? Spiritually? When God sits on his throne and looks to his right and sees his son sitting there, he also sees you and I spiritually sitting there as well. Therefore, all the blessings of heaven belong to us. because of what Christ has done for us. Right? You are bountifully rich, even when poor by the world's standards. You received all the blessings that heaven contains, freely given by God. I remember singing this hymn. I think a lot of us remember this one as well. I'll count your blessings. How many remember that hymn? Count your blessings. See what God has done. And I thought about that. That's almost an impossible task, is it not? To think about all the blessings that God has bestowed upon us. Can you count them all? I don't think we can. God has blessed us with so much. And do you thank Him every day for His blessings? And do you thank Him for saving you and dying for you, being your guide and walking with you in life? Now think of a moment of past social blessings. The psalmist tells us in Psalms 68:6 that God places the lonely in families. It also says in that same psalm, it says He is the father to the fatherless, the defender of the widows. So when we accepted Christ as our Savior, we entered into His family. We joined the body of Christ, a fellowship, and the times that we spent together with each other are wonderful times to remember. Think of the enjoyment and the enrichment those times are that when we spend with each other. What a miserable world it would be without a family or without friends. But within the context of the church, we can grow. We can also use each other as soundboards. We need these past social blessings because in the context of them, we grow spiritually. All right? Think for a moment about past temporal blessings. The psalmist tells us in Psalms 103:2, "Praise the Lord, I tell myself, and never forget the good things He has done for me." The psalmist undoubtedly includes temporal blessings in the understanding of the little words, good things. And so must we. God's favor is upon us in our homes, our businesses, our health, our employment are all part of God's divine work in our lives. He takes care of us, watches over us. There's some days that maybe He feels far away. But you know what? He's right there beside us. In fact, He lives within us. All right? So remember every past social and temporal blessing that existed is in Christ. And we receive them the moment we accept Him as our Lord and Savior. All the blessings are in Christ. If we are not in Him, we have no blessings at all. And now if we take more time, we're going to study this psalm a little deeper. Notice that it's not only a look back for which we're to be thankful, but we're also to look forward as well. You must be gratefully appreciate God's blessings which are before you. In fact, verses 4 and 5 tells us that. You thrill me, Lord, with all you have done for me. Sing for joy because of what you have done. What great miracles you do. That's now, right? The miracles take place now. The psalmist had looked back. Now he's looking forward. And looking at what God had done for him and the miracles He's doing in his life. In verse 5 it says, O Lord, what great miracles you do. And how deep are your thoughts? Whatever has been experienced in the past is not compared to what lies ahead. Apostle Paul must have been thinking of this when he wrote these words in 1 Corinthians 2:9. Ear, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of a person the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. Thank God that there are no limitations attached to God's blessings. But how many of us actually thank Him for the miracles He's doing in our lives today? Remember this, the best is still ahead. Because following Christ is a progressive way of life. Every day, it's a miracle that God has given us another day to live. Also in these five verses, we learn the duty of thankfulness is a major activity. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to the Most High. It is good to proclaim your unfailing love in the morning, your faithfulness in the evening. So here, if I am correct in my understanding, thankfulness is a major activity inasmuch as it engages the spirit, the soul, and the body. Psalmist speaks of spiritual thankfulness. It is good to give thanks to the Lord. There is an expressed level of praying and praise which cannot be expressed in words. Is that correct? There's sometimes we just don't know how to pray. Sometimes we don't know how to praise. It is an activity of worship within the realm of the Spirit. The Apostle Paul spoke of this in his first letter to the Corinthians when he talked about praying with the Spirit and singing with the Spirit. Look at 1 Corinthians 14, 14 through 15. Apostle Paul said, "For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the result then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. And I'll sing with the Spirit, and I'll also sing with the understanding." See, what I get in this is God does not just want our bodies here while our minds are off somewhere else. He wants us totally to be here with our emotions, with our minds. Now, if I was to preach and you don't understand, maybe it's my fault. Or it could be that you're off somewhere else. But when we sing or pray, God doesn't just want us just to kind of just stand there or sit there and just mouth the words. He wants our whole being to be involved as we pray and worship and praise Him. Now, I'm just going to talk about our quiet time. How many of you guys have a quiet time in the mornings or the afternoons? Yes? Some of us are like this. And depending on what it is, I know that Tuesday morning I'm going to be gone by probably 6:30 for work, so I might just get out of bed and just go. I don't know yet. I'll see what happens. But here's some advice. Ever thought about just taking an old hymn book, song book, or a media device and pick a song while you're doing your quiet time? Listen to the words and then use that music to express what you feel in your heart to God. There are sometimes I do that in the evening. Sometimes I'll sit at the computer and I'll find some songs I want to listen to. My day hasn't gone good. And I find some that really just calm my spirit and my soul and kind of gets me down a little bit into a place where I can spend time with Him. I think to sing and to spend that time in singing and praising God arouses our spirit as we wait upon Him. And sometimes it brings us deeper into His presence as well. I've often said, if you're not going to learn to sing today, remember this. When we go into eternity, we're going to sing for all eternity. Better learn today, right? All right. Now, the psalmist also speaks of personal thankfulness. It is good to sing praises to the Most High. This is praising not so much with the spirit as with understanding. In 1 Corinthians 14, 15, it says, "I'll pray with understanding and I'll sing with understanding." So personal thankfulness involves us singing, our vocal powers as well. Our chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him. And there's no greater activity than to praise and to sing to God. And I know that this psalm, and like the rest of the psalms, were used as their hymn book years ago at this time when this was written. But we're not only to praise God with our lips when we sing, but we're to sing wherever we are, whether it's in our homes. Have you been to somebody's home where somebody at the house is always singing. I was at a home one year and spending some time with these people. I think it was Norma. We could just call her Auntie Norma. And you can just hear in her voice, she was always praising the Lord when she was cooking or doing something. It was really uplifting to be there, right? We are to give glory to God even if we're in the truck, grinding gears, right? Grinding gears. How about under the truck? Some of us are mechanics. Do you sing for praise when you're just undoing the little nut off the oil change, the tank? And just as you get it off, big blob of mud falls down the back of your neck, and then you go like this, and where does the oil go? Do you still thank Him and praise Him? Some of us are like, no way. That's too much. But wherever we are, we're to praise God, even when we're shopping, even when we're at the doctor's office, even the dentist. Some of us go, oof, can't do that. But anyways, see, you and I are to be breathing, living temples in which God dwells. And I don't have the verses up on the PowerPoint, but I'm just going to read them to you. Ephesians 2 is one of them, and chapter 2, verses 21 and 22. It says, "We who believe are carefully joined together, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through Him, you Gentiles," that is you and I, "are also being joined together as part of this dwelling where God lives by His Spirit." And then over in 1 Peter 2:5, "And now God is building you as living stones into His spiritual temple. What's more, you are God's holy priests who offer the spiritual sacrifices that please Him because of Jesus Christ." So that means you can worship and praise Him anytime, anywhere. All right? God is with you constantly. We are living temples, right? But even more than that is we're to be thankful that we can be temples. We must be able to say and mean, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." And we should live in this evil world with self-control, right conduct, and devotion to God. Are you thankful that He's given you the opportunity to praise Him wherever you go? What would that look like if we did? Would that attract others to Christ, to the Savior? I think it would. Now, the psalmist also speaks of musical thankfulness. Look at verses 2 and 3 of this psalm. "It is good to proclaim your unfailing love in the morning, your faithfulness in the evening, accompanied by the harp and strings, lute and the harmony of the lyre." And those who played these instruments were professional musicians. The tabernacle, the temple system, had probably, what they said, probably about 4,000 musicians. And they did this 24/7 on a rotation. There was constant music being played in the temple. Before you even got close to the temple, you could hear the music. All right? What was true of those musicians should be equally true of us. Every day we should show forth the loving kindness of God, and every night we should celebrate His faithfulness. Our whole being should be an orchestra to the living God and being thankful for what He has done for us. And when I think of thankfulness, I always often think of the Apostle Paul and Silas. Do you remember the story in Acts when they were imprisoned in Acts chapter 16? And it's verses 16 through 40. If anybody had a right to grumble about their situation, it was these men. Proclaiming the gospel, arrested, beaten, and then put into the innermost cell of the prison. Feet were fastened and their hands into stocks. Luke recorded that at midnight, Paul and Silas were doing two things. They were praying and they were singing hymns to God. Why were they rejoicing? Why? This sounds strange. But they were thankful that God had given the opportunity not only to serve him, but to also suffer for him. And what else was going on in that prison? If you know the story quite well, there's something else that was really interesting. Who was listening? All the other prisoners were listening. This is something new. What is going on? These guys are singing because they just got beat up. What is going on? You see, when we sing while we suffer, in whatever situation we go through, when we're singing, people are listening. And we always love to be around those who can sing no matter what's going on in life and no matter what's happening to them. Their hearts may be broken, their lives full of pain, but when they sing, we listen. They have a song that's worth listening to. It has a message of depth and encouragement. When we sing, others will listen. And you experience a wonderful testimony of our thankfulness to our Heavenly Father. Apostle Paul reminds you and I that when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you'll make melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God. So, have you seen what makes up the duty of thankfulness? It's a moral necessity, and it's a major activity. Let's see to it that we remember to give thanks to God, to sing praises unto his name, to show forth his loving kindness throughout the whole day, every moment of every day. In the morning, and at night. Always start with thankfulness. Put your feet on the floor as you get out of bed and say, thank you, Lord, for another day. And then we go to bed, say, thank you for giving me this day to serve you. There's one thing I like to do right now as we close. I'd like a few of you to express what are you thankful for? You know? I'm going to give you the open mic. And now I've got to find the button that works on here. Is it on now? Yeah, we're working. So if there's somebody who wants to start off. All right. Go ahead. Anybody? Well, there's got to be something you're thankful for. Boy, oh boy. Thanks. Anybody else?
I can talk loud anyway. I just texted my daughter and told her I was thankful that God gave me a daughter to raise, and especially her in particular. And I'm also thankful for our first granddaughter who's on her way any moment, any day now. So
I know Peter's pretty thankful and excited too. He can hardly wait. So
we're thankful for Sunday school.
Oh. Okay.
Very thankful for moving to this new community and everybody being so welcoming, and we feel blessed to be here amongst you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Couple more?
I am just so thankful for how God walks with us every day. It's not a Sunday thing. It's an everyday thing, how he walks with us. And he desires to do that. He never gives up on us when we fall. He picks us back up and said, let's keep going. And so I just want to praise him and thank him for his faithfulness.
Yes. Wonderful, wonderful. Amen. One more. Couple more.
I'm very thankful for Jesus Christ to conquer death, sin, and the grave, and hanging on the cross. I can never say enough thanks for all that he did.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really thankful for this church family and for your prayer and care for our family over the years. And recently we had put a prayer request out for our son. He's having surgery again. The whole time we were down in Calgary, I just felt all these little ways that we were cared for above and beyond, and I just felt your prayers and your love and everything.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess that's it, and then let's close in prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this weekend. It's a weekend that we gather with family and friends. But Father, I pray that this weekend just doesn't stop today. That we express our thankfulness for all that you have done for us throughout every day that you give to us. So be with us now, Father. Go with us. Help us to remember that all the blessings of heaven are at our disposal that we can use. So now, Father, go with each one of us. In thy wonderful name, amen.